This shiur is dedicated to the refuah of our dear friend, Yosef Chaim Yisachar ben Chaim Mashkat. Chaim Feigenbaum, he needs a refuah shalema. We have to keep up our special efforts. A name was added to Chaim, which is Yosef Chaim. Shekodesh Boch Yosef, Oirich Yomim, Ushnais Chaim, and send a refuah shalema men Hashemayim. The topic we will be discussing today is part of the weekly parsha, but it also has special relevance. We're still under the impression of the wonderful Yom Tov that we had last week, Pesach. And many times I was approached by people with good intentions, fine intentions, but people that ask, why do we make such a big fuss of kashas in our days? Why do we need hashgacha and mashgichim? Isn't it a very simple halacha that ed echod ne'emon b'yisulin? So why wouldn't any shop owner, restaurant owner, any katzev that sells meat, why shouldn't we rely on their integrity and their nemonis based on the basic halacha that we find many times in Shas, Ed Echod Nemin Beisurin? So the basic source of this halacha, Ed Echod Nemin Beisurin, is in the weekly parasha, Parshas Mitzora, V'Sofro La. Ezavo has to count Shivanakim, and she has nemonos on her Shivanakim. According to Tosfos, that is the source of the basic halacha ed echod nemon b'yisurin. Rashi has a different opinion, and Rashi appears many times in Shas. Gittin, daf beis, amud beis. Yevom espeches amud alef, tchulin, yud amud beis. Rashi says, how do we know ed echod nemon b'yisurin? Because every person is nemon. I mean, a person could eat by his friend. That is a very simple svara. We don't even need a source. How could a person eat by his friend? How could a person eat at home and trust his wife? Froches somasomaisis that she bought in a kosher shop. How could a child eat in his parents' house? So it is self-evident, according to Rashi, that Edechod Ne'emem Misurin. Tosfos argues, no, there is a source, and that source is the Posuk V'Sofrula. So we will be discussing in today's lecture, in today's shiur, first of all, the definition of Edechod Ne'emem Beisurin, the Lomdisha definition, then some practical halachas, but we will broaden the scope of this conversation, not only regarding the Nemonos, but also regarding a different, very relevant and basic question regarding kashrus. Why don't we rely on roiv? Not always do we rely on the concept of roiv. Every serious kashrus body does its utmost to check, to examine, to determine exactly admakom shiyodem agas, and try to steer clear of any chashash of non-kosher food, and we do not simply rely on every assumption, every situation in which we know that roiv is kosher. So once again, I brought the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos regarding Edechod Ne'emon B'yisurin. The Gemara makes it very clear in the various sources I quoted. One of the basic halachas in the sugya of Edechod Ne'emon B'yisurin, when it is chazik isura, the ed does not have nemonos. When there is a cheskas isura, we cannot rely on an Edechod Ne'emon B'yisurin. I wrote a few times in my sforn, Menchaso Shal Gittin, I think it's either Simen Hay or Simen Vav, Menchaso Shal Vayikro, Simen Chav Zayin. In those two sources, there's a very lengthy discussion regarding Edechod Ne'emon B'yisurin, and I'll just briefly say what the Chiddush is. I argue that Edechod Ne'emon B'yisurin is not a din of Nemonos. regardless of the fact that Chazal used the word Ne'eman, but basically it isn't really a din of Ne'emanus. It isn't a din of Eidus, even though the formulation in Chazal is Ed Echod, indicating Lecha'ora, that it's a din in Eidus, Ne'eman, which obviously would mean that it's a din in Emanus. But my Hagdora is, Ed Echod Ne'eman Besurin is a din in Hanhogas Iso Veheto. It's a din in Hanhogas Iso Veheto. Ne'emanus is required when we have a suffix, and somebody has Ne'emanus to be Machriya the suffix. Ed Echod Ne'eman Besurin teaches us you don't have to be Choshish for a suffix. You could rely on a kosher Jew. You could rely on a Odom Shemusak Becheskes Kashas that he's not going to be machshir you. And therefore, it's a din in Hanhogas Issa Veheta. I have two very simple and very basic arguments to substantiate this definition. Number one, a person could only be Ne'eman on what he says. In Ed Echod Ne'eman Beisurin, the aid doesn't need to say anything. According to Rashi, that the basic assumption, the axiom of Ed Echod Ne'eman Beisurin is based on the Metzias, Odom Oichel Eitzel Chaveiroi. So when a person eats in another Jew's home, does he have to ask and inquire when the chicken is put on the table? Does he have to ask, did you do proper shchita? And when the beef is put on the table, he will have to ask whether you did nickel. And when fruits or vegetables are served, he will have to ask, what about Trumas? And Truma Gedoyla, and Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Sheni, and Maaser Oni. And would the Baal HaBayis have to respond and testify, yes, I did this and I did that? Obviously, according to that, there's no need to ask, no need to inquire, and on the other hand, there's no need to say anything. So how could we say a person is Ne'eman on something he never said? Number two, testimony is only relevant when accepted in Beis Din, because Beis Din is the only body, the only institution that has the authority to determine true or false. Do we accept or reject? In all DNA Torah, whenever we need Eidus, whether it's Mena Torah Medrabonon, whether it's one Eid or two Eidim, whether it's Dina Momenes or Dina Nefoshes, or Eidus Isho, or Ed Echod Besoita, Ed Echod who is Machayev Shavua, never is there relevance to an Ed unless he testifies before Beis Din. Ed Echod Ne'eman Besurin has nothing to do with Beis Din. According to Rashi, we know Ed Echod Ne'eman Besurin because a person is entitled to eat in his friend's home. According to Tosis, we learn it from Nido and Zavon. The woman is trusted that she did Shivanakiyim. We could all just guess that not every woman is required to come before the Beis Din before being at home with her husband to testify that they did Shivanakiyim. So therefore, whether the source is in accordance to Rashi's opinion or Tosis' opinion, there is no need to testify, there's no need to say anything, there's no need to acquire. And there definitely is no requirement that the person has to be made in Beis Din, and therefore it cannot be defined as Ne'emanus. My other raya is the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidus, Perek Hei, Halacha Beis. And let me just say very broadly, we all understand that Hilchos Eidus should include all the dinim of Eidus of testimony. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Eidus, Perek Hei, Halacha Beis. After the Rambam explains the din of Ed Echod Shenemen B'momen, Lo Lehotzim Amon, Aval Chayev Shavua, a person, when an Ed Echod testifies against him, is Chayev Shavua. So I'm reading the Loshon of the Rambam. Perek Eloch Aleph, Ein Choytchim Din Men Adinam Al Pi Ed Echod, Lo Din En Afoshes, Lo Din En Momen, Shenem Al Yokom Ed Echod Beish, Lo Cholov En Al Chol Chavas, מפי השמוע למדו, שקמו לשבוע כמו שביאנו בהלכס טויין וניתן, Halacha Beis, and this is the more relevant halacha. B'shnei mekoyim esamin etoere adechod. B'soite shelo tishtemai morim, u'be'egle arufe shelo tiaref kemo shebi'anu b'mkuman. V'chein midivrem b'eides ishro, shia'ila shemeiz ba'ala. So in these two halachas that Rambam explains, Ed Echod has nemonos in four different halachas in Torah. L'chayev shavua, besoita, shelo tishte mayim amorim, egra arufa, amidarabonan, edus isho. Edus isho means to permit an aguna to remarry. Why doesn't the Rambam include a fifth halacha, Ed Echod neman b'yisuri? That's a tremendous kasha. Mari Al-Ghazi has great difficulty coming to an answer on this question. I argue the answer is very simple. Ed Echod Ne'emar Misur is not a din in Eidus. This is Hilchus Eidus. The four above mentioned halachas are all dinim of Eidus, of testimony. In these four distinct halachas, the Ed Echod has to come before Beis Din, and he has to testify. Ed Echod Ne'emar Misurin is not a din in Hilchus Eidus, it's a din in Hanhogas Isra Veheter. According to this argument, we have a teres for another major kasha. I call it the Gemara, Ischazik Isura, and Ed Echod does not have Nemonos. Ruba Bechazuka Ruba Odif. So, L'cha'oidu we could learn, if an Ed Echod is not Neman B'mokam Chazuka Kal V'choyme, that he cannot have Nemonos B'mokam Roiv. But everybody understands that is not so. Teishach Anoyes Malchois Posanavela, Chanut Echad Mucheret Basar Shuta, and a piece of meat is found. The Mishnah says, it's brought in the Gemara Ksuvas Daf Tes Vav, and in various other Makoyimis in Shas. If Rav Chanoyes sell kosher meat, then the piece of meat that is found is kosher. If they sell the majority of the shops, sell nevela, then the chaticha would be considered nevela. How about an edecho that's mayid, that it's kosher? Definitely edecho nemen b'yisurin. But if it's against the Rav, how would he have nemonos? If he doesn't have nemonos against chazuka, shouldn't have nemonos against the Rav. My feeling is that when the Gemara says Vishazik Yisura and Ed Echod is not Neman, it's not because of the Koyach of Chazuka. It's a totally different interpretation. If we would be dealing with the Nemonos of an Ed, it would be reasonable to say Ed Echod is not stronger than Chazuka. Then definitely he shouldn't have Nemonos against Roiv. My interpretation would be this. I mentioned before, Ed Echod Ne'emar B'yisurin is a din mesuyim in Hanhoges Issa Veheter. And Ed Echod is not machriya b'mokom sufek, but rather the hagdara is, ata lo tzarich le'orer sfekot, ein kan sufek. Mutalach al asmoch al odom kosha mi Yisrael, that he's not going to be machshili with macholas asuras. However, if there is a sufek before Neinu, this rule does not apply. Sofek b'foneinu is when there's a cheskes iso. When the Ed Echod comes to change, to uproot an accepted assumption that we assumed up to this moment, in that case, you have to be choshesh to iso. And the Ed doesn't have the strength to change an accepted assumption. And therefore, it has nothing to do with the halacha. Ruba v'chazoka, ruba odif. This is a dilemma. The question of Rav and Chazoka many achronim deal with. Pnei Shulam Kiddushi Samach Gimel Amid Beis. Noi de Bihuda, Madura Kama, Eben Ezer Simen Samach Tes. But because this shiur by nature, as these shiurim always are, is relatively short, we can't go into all the details and all the sources. So, first of all, I try to define the concept of Ed Echod Ne'emar B'yisurin. Any of you interested in delving deeper into the subject and having the breadth of the topic, please check Minchas Osher Masechet Gittin or Minchas Osher Chumash Vayikra Siman Chav Zayin Parshas Tosria Mitzrayim. Coming back to the questions I put on the table at the beginning of this year, so why don't we rely on every average person? By basic halacha definition, maybe we should. But we do see that Gedolei Yisrael throughout the ages, feeling the pulse of the time, were mekayim what Chazal told us in the first perek of Masechet Avos, Asu Siyag LeTorah. The tour at the end of Siman Yud Ches in Yeridei. In Siman Yud Ches we learn the halacha that a shoychet has to show his chalaf, his second shoshchita to the Rav. The Torah quotes his great father, the Rosh. The Rosh says, in our times, we do not give nemanos to katzavim, to people that sell meat. And in Kol Golus Yisrael, in the all Jewish communities, in the entire diaspora, the Torah quotes the Rosh, saying that we do not trust katzavim. We do not rely on their integrity, as great tzaddikim they may seem to be. And in Kol Golus Yisrael, Bezin is Memana Shoichtim V'Boitkim, Ala Shchita, Ala Nikur, Ala Bedika, and therefore that affects the Chiyuv to show the Chalaf to the Rav. But what we learn from the Rav, quoted by the Torah, that 900 years ago, 800 years ago, it was accepted by Kol Golus Yisrael in all Jewish communities, even though by basic halachic definition, every person is Naaman. But knowing the feel of the times, it was accepted by Gedolei Yisrael, by the leaders of Jewish communities in the entire Jewish world, that we no longer rely on the Naamanus of Katzavim. 600 years later, Chochmas Sado, Klal Ayin Aleph, Sif Beis, the Chochmas Sodom was a Talmud of the Noida Yehuda, a certain, in a way, a Talmud of the Goen, of the Gro. The Chochmas Sodom says that in our times, referring to the world 200 years ago, one should not eat by a fellow Jew unless he knows that he's Muchzik Becheskes Kashas. The Chochmas Sodom makes it clear in that same Seif that halachically, you could rely, as long as he isn't a choshud, you could rely. You don't have to know the person, you don't have to know that he's mufsad b'cheses kashas, edechod nemen b'yisurin. But the Chochmas Sodom says, times have changed. And in our days, who knows, Jews live everywhere sometimes, echod b'ir, shnayim b'mishpocha, you can never know who you're dealing with, and therefore, not only when buying in a shop, even when being a guest in another person's home, one should inquire, one should make sure that the person he is staying with is a muhsik bekashas and is reliable. So these are two very important sources by the greatest Torah authorities of their age, the Tur, the Rosh, the Chochmas Sodom, and it is from them that we learn, and in our times, when the pitui could be so great, there is so much money involved, and I think that is basically the minig in our days, in our times, not to give namanas to any person when there is a monetary incentive, and therefore we expect every person that caters to the public, whether in a hotel or a restaurant or a shop selling any food products, we do demand that he has a hechsher. Regarding the other question, and why do we invest such tremendous resources, efforts, monetary resources, in bedikas and drishas and chikiras in the area of kashas, I think we could be saving a lot of money and make life far easier if we always just check one thing, Rav or Miut. There's an interesting issue as Yankov. The other day, Simen Tesvav, Sivkot Nalav. And the issue as Yankov says a basic principle. And he cements that principle very strongly. And he argues that the concept of Roiv is only relevant when we're dealing with something which is incidental. Coming back to the Mishnah I quoted before, a person is walking in the marketplace. He finds a piece of meat or a package of meat. He looks around. Or to the contrary, so we say, we are toiling the majority. That is incidental. But whenever we're dealing with a tekona lerabim, with a suffix that is kavua, it's here to stay. It's not just happened by chance. It's not incidental. But it's a suffix kavua. We do not rely on roiv. And he writes, this is a yesoid godel, umemeno lo azua. I won't move from this principle. We find this psak, or this sentiment, in many other achronim. The great Chibin Arav, one of the greatest gedolim of our generation, Doivev Meshorim Chelek Gimel, Simon Memtes, quotes the Yeshuas Yankov. He says that this principle is already found in the Ramban, Gittin Yud Zayin. I personally did not find the Ramban. Meshav Dovah Denetziv, Chelek Bey Simon Zayin, dealing with a similar topic, argues the same principle, and he actually offers that interpretation in the Ramos and in Kufiutes, Sifal of the Ramo, differentiates, and he writes, when you're eating with another Jew, you can rely on his integrity as long as he isn't choshud. But if you're buying in a store, you cannot buy only if the person is muhsak bekashus. The interpretation of the Netziv would be, why is there a difference between buying in a store or eating at a person's house? Because a store sells not to the individual, but to the community. And because the suffix is Nagei al-Rabim, we are more stringent. Other Achrayim offer a different understanding in the Ramah. When you're buying in a shop, there is a hashash that money might make the difference. If non-kosher food would be cheaper than kosher food, that is why we need to be more cautious. However, the same principle is found in Meshiv Dovah. I think the strongest raya to this principle would be Tosis in Ksubis Chof Chesumid Beis. Tosis explains the concept of Beis HaPras. Many times in Shas and Seder Taharas we find that Beis HaPras is Tumei Derabanan. Beis HaPras is a Soda Shenechrash Bo Kever, or a Soda She'Avad Bo Kever. Min HaTorah, it is Sofek Tumei Bishus HaRabim Tohor. However, Beis HaPras is Tumei Midarabanan. And Tosis explain why were Chachamim Goyze Tumei on Beis HaPras? Why didn't they rely on the basic principle, Sofek Tumei Bishus HaRabim Sveikei Tohor? So Tosis says, because it's a Sofek Kavua. It is not something that just happened by chance. The Beis HaPras is here to stay. And this suffix will come up again and again, and therefore Chachamim were machmir. However, we do not find in Tosfos that this is a principle, a basic ruling that should be accepted across the board. Tosfos merely explains why were Chachamim machmir b'tumas Beis HaPras. What I wish to make clear is this cannot be a basic halacha, because there are many, many sugyas in the entire Shas which contradict this yesoid. We rely on Rav Behemis Barakosha, and this is a suffix that's by every animal that we slaughter. In the first Sif, in Siman Yud Ches, we learn that there are high tleifas, 18 tleifas, and we're not required to be biting any of them besides tleifas hareya, bedikas hareya, because it is shachiach tleifas. All the others we don't have to be biting, even though it's a suffix kavua, and it comes up again and again. It's nagei l'rabim. Chazaka d'rova is the assumption that a 13-year-old boy probably has shtei saras v'dinai kigodel, and he could be moitzia chedim yedei chavoson. It is based on life. Most kids, 13 years, are gedolim. So we could check, and it's nageya to each and every Jewish boy growing up. It's nageya to every community. So I just brought two examples, but there are numerous examples of sveikas that are kavua negel rabim and afropikim aslina bosaroif. I think the way we have to understand the Yeshua Sianka is similar to what I said just a few moments ago regarding the Tosfos and Ksuvos. It might be a guiding principle, but definitely not an ironclad halacha. I think that the more reasonable time that we have to invest such great purchase into kashas is a different one. Menatoy Daslin and Bosalov. However, the Rashbu is machadish twice. Toyras Abayas, Chuvas Arashbu, I think it's similar. Rishai and Dalad in the first chayvet. Miyut HaMatsui, or Miyut HaShachiach, Chayshinan La. And that is the explanation of two halachas in Yoredei, Lamed Tesif Aleph and Pei Dalad Sif Ches. Lamed Tesif Aleph, we learn, Rav Behemes Kshedes. However, the lung has to be checked. Why? Most behemoths are kosher, they don't have treifas areiah. But it is common. It is a common problem that there are circus and the reya, and therefore the reya, the lung, has to be checked. So in the Pei Dalet Sifches we learn that any vegetable in which there are shechiach toiloim, worms, insects, parasites, has to be checked. Tzorech bedika. And the Ramo makes it very clear. Even if the majority have been found to be kosher, that is not enough. What is considered miut hamotzui, miut hashachiach? There's a machlokes between the Mishkanes Yankif and the Rivash. The Rivash lived 500 years ago, and he says miut hashachiach is something which is close to a majority. I think the basic understanding of the Rivash is this. If Menatoyra, any Rav is sufficient, why would the Chachomim be Machmir Bamiyat HaShachiyach? Probably the rationale would be, well, if it's Shachiyach, maybe we would be confusing the margin of error. In every professional poll, the pollsters want to steer clear of teroimis, so they always make clear there's a margin of error, 2%, 3%, 4%. I think the rationale of the Rivash is if the miut is close to 50%, then maybe it might be a roif, and therefore chachomer are machmir by miut hashachiyach. So according to Rivash, Miyut HaShachiyach is something which is close to 50%. All the present-day Gedolim called the Mishkanes Yankov. The Mishkanes Yankov was a disciple of Rav Chaim of Alozhin, Rav Yankov of Karlin, one of the great halachic authorities of his generation. Mishkanes Yankov Yerodeh Semin Yud Zayin says, Miyut HaShachiyach, Miyut HaMatsui is approximately 10%. Why 10%? Well, he has a very interesting raya, proves 10% from the combination of two sugyas, one in Masechet Gittin, the other one in Masechet Bava Basra. Without going into lengthy details, in Minchas Sosho Vayikra Seben Yud Zayin, I wrote my opinion about the Mishkanes Yankov, but what is important to state is, I made clear in that siman, I think everybody is quoting the Mishkanes Yankov mistakenly, because it's a very lengthy tshuva, and yes, at some stage in the tshuva he argues 10%, but towards the end of the tshuva he makes his opinion very clear, and I think that should be halachic ruling. Miyut HaMatsui, Miyut HaShachiyach does not depend on percentage points. As long as you don't do statistics, you can never determine percentages. And Chazal didn't engage in statistics. Statistics is a modern concept. Miyut HaMatsui is anything that is common. When Siamese twins are born, it's a sensation. It's going to make it to the press. It is something extremely uncommon. Mi eta metzui, mi eta shachiach, kishmoi kein hu. Something that is recurrent, something that's commonplace, that is what we define mi eta metzui. And it does not depend on percentage points. And this poses a tremendous problem to the modern world of kashrus. Because once upon a time, when a shechet lived in a little town, and he shecht 3 behemoths in a month, 5 behemoths in a month, 10 behemoths in a month. So there are many treifes that never popped up. And if they were found once in a blue moon, it was a surprise. That would be considered miyut she'enu shachiyach. But when you have a factory doing 10,000 animals in a week, then everything is matsui, everything is common, and nothing is a surprise. So how would we define the concept of miyata matsui? Is miyata matsui a relative concept? Is it an absolute concept? That is a tremendous halachic dilemma, and I think that would be probably the most basic reason why we put such an effort into determining and trying to do our utmost to steer clear of any suffix in kashas because of the difficulty defining what would be defined and considered a miyut hamatzui. So we have dealt with various kashas dilemmas, primarily still under the impression of Pesach and the weekly parsha from which we learn Ed Echod Ne'emon B'Yisurim. So whenever we say goodbye to a Yom Tov, whenever we depart from one of the magnificent days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Berov Rachma V'Chasodov, the basic question we must ask ourselves is, what are we taking along? What will the Yom Tov leave with us? From the second night of Pesach, we have the mitzvah of Sviras Weimar. Each and every day, counting another of Yemei Ha'oimah. The Rishonim, in their interpretation of this mitzvah, explain that this mitzvah comes to connect Pischa v'Atzarta, Pesach and Shavuos, Tzias Mitzrayim, and Mamed Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satorah. To quote the Lashon of the Sefer HaChinuch, Lefi shekol ikon shel Yisrael eina ela atoiro, veba'avuro nivru shemayim ve'oretz v'Yisrael, ve'hi yaseh davar tachlis shenigalu mimitzrayim ve'olu lekol hagedulo she'olu eleya. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim is to bring us to Har Sinai. Zerach vois ki v'tzeischa me'mitzrayim pavden esu alakim al ha'har hazeh. The great aggressive Shonatans on the Shoyal Meshiv used to say in Moshe, b'leil ha'seder, and it's written in Haggadah Shul Pesach, Divrei Shol, to the best of my memory, to the best of my knowledge. Jews have rejoiced B'Leil HaSeder throughout the ages, and even in circumstances that probably were as difficult, if not more difficult than Golas Mitzrayim. I heard from my father, Shiachiyad Bias HaMoshiach, my beloved father, who was together with the Chloisim B'Galevi in the camps. They were both sent together from Birkenau to Warsaw. And they were together Pesach. And with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, which is, cannot even be described, the Chloisim B'Galevi and some of the other Mesiras Nefesh Jews baked matzahs, achieving the nisenism, some grain, crushing the kernels of grain with rocks and stones, and they baked matzahs. Probably they were in circumstances that were more terrible than Golos Mitzrayim. I mean, nothing could be more terrible than the Holocaust. And nevertheless, they ate matzah. Just a few weeks ago I told the beautiful story of Moshe Goldkorn in the Kovno ghetto. That was Moshe Nafshei to eat matzahs, to achieve matzahs. How could we rejoice in freedom when we are once again in such a terrible golus? And we can only guess that throughout the ages this was a recurrent Jewish story. Probably in the time of the Inquisition, Spain, Portugal, Jews ate matzahs. So what is the simcha? So Rabbi Yosef Shonatan Zon told the mushal. And the mushal is about a person that was poor and desperate, a God-fearing Jew, and he was sad. And the derech lo derech, in a miraculous way, he won the lottery and became rich. Every year, in that lucky day in which he had his lucky strike, he used to make a suda for family, neighbors, friends, call the crowd together, and throw a magnificent feast, and thank you, Kodesh Baruch. And he always explained to his children that what saddened them more than anything else was not only the fact that they were poor, but once upon a time, if you were poor, even little kids had to help out with parnasa. And he couldn't send his children to yeshiva, he couldn't really give them a Torah chinuch, because when you're poor and desperate and nobody is there to help you, you have no choice but to make it on your own, and there was no chance that his children would be able to get a proper Torah chinuch. And that is why he was so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After 10 years, Galgal HaChayza B'Yoylam, and that wheel turned in the wrong direction. He lost his entire fortune and once again was poor and desperate. His children and family were very worried how he would react when that happy day would arrive, how it would affect his emotional state, his psychology, and his well-being. And it was a great puzzle in their eyes. When that day arrived, he suddenly became so happy again, and actually invited the same people with whom he rejoiced every year. People got together, they sat around an empty table. There was some hard bread and water on the table, and the father is happy, and he's singing his heart away. One of the children, had the azus, and he said, "Father, I don't have any four kashas tonight, but I have one kasha, but it seems to be a tough one, as if I would ask four kashas." And the father says, "So what's your question?" And he says, "L'simcha zu, my oisa. I mean, why are you happy? Are you blind? Are you deaf? Look at the table. People have gathered and there's nothing to eat." And the father says, "My dear child, let me explain. I was poor, I've been rich, we're poor again. That's not the issue. Hashem nosen v'Hashem lokachi hishem Hashem avoyach. I was sad in the past because I worried for your chinuch and your Torah. So Baruch Hashem, the 10 crucial years, the formative years, when you kids grew up, I had money and I sent you to yeshivas and you all became talmid chachamim. No wheel of fortune could take that away from us. That is with us for eternity." Rabbi Yosef Shonatan Zon explained, and we rejoice in Yetzias Mitzrayim not only because of personal salvation, national pride and sovereignty, but primarily Kabbalah Satoyah. Leaving Mitzrayim, we stopped at Har Sinai. And it is there that we had this tremendous Kirvus Elohim, Kabbalah Sotera, Mamed Har Sinai, Kabbalah Sotmalcha Shemai. No wheel of fortune could ever take that away from us. Neither Hitler nor Stalin, neither Antiochus or Haman, nobody could take Torah away from us as a people, as individuals, and that is our simcha. And that is what Sfiya Suwaima comes to teach us. Counting from the very first day of Pesach, till Shavuos. One day at a time, one day closer to Kabbalah Satorah. That is the basic lesson that we learn from Chag HaMatzos, from Zechar LiYetzias Mitzrayim. So, my dear friends, fellow Jews, this is the first year we have after Chag HaMatzos. I'm going to be next week in South America. I'm not sure we're going to have a shiur. I will try, make an effort to have one. If not, Be'ez Hashem, in 2 weeks' time, Parshas Emoyo, Yerotzon, we should be Zeicher. It still is Chodesh Nisan, Benisan Nigala, Benisan Masin Lagoal. We should be Zeicher to Yeshua Sisrael, and be as Goel Tzedek, Memheiro V'Yomeinu, Amen.